hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. What do you do when it's your first day on a new job and you're forced to call the cops? You want to look like a manager who's able to handle the job, yet you have no choice. Just how crazy was that first day? That's what we find out today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That indeed it is. And yes, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror story with us. And it can be from really any workplace. It doesn't have to be a strictly office environment. Obviously, a lot of us haven't been in offices for quite a while, so feel free to share whatever experience it is, past, present, you can probably enter future, but we'd love to hear your office horror stories. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number, or write it in at officehorrorstories.com. You do it completely anonymously, and we may use your story on a future episode of the program. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you for today's episode of Office Horror Stories. And how are you this fine day?
Well, I'm pretty good, but this is, I don't know when this episode airs, but we're still in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But I got the feeling there are people who are looking back like a month ago, they were like, hey, my job. And now they're going, God, I wish I had my job.
It's an interesting dynamic right now.
It's tough.
Where I wonder,
it's just
how much are we going to be bitching about our jobs when everybody's back at work? Or is this going to kind of put things into perspective? I don't know. This is airing at the beginning of June, and we're recording this the 13th of January, April. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's a turning point. It's whatever you want to call it, where there's going to be a different perspective on the other side of it.
And I do know there's two types of people in this environment. There's the people like me who are super social and I still have to go to my job and I'm fine with that.
Sure.
But it's the just coming home from work that's killing me. It's like, I want to do one thing. But then there's other people I know who are like, I've lived my whole life for this. I've always just wanted to work at home.
I've been social distancing for the last 6 years since I left radio.
See, that's you. And it works out for some people.
Yeah, it does. It's not an every person thing.
I just want to do something.
Yeah.
I want to go to a concert or I want to go to a movie.
Yeah.
Like
I want
can
my
you
neighbors
just open
to go
it
back
up
to
for
work.
Like five people? Because I've been there plenty of Sundays when there was only five people there anyway.
Sure.
And it just seems like we could do that.
You see, I want my neighbors
I'll bring
to
my own concessions.
I want my neighbors to go back to work because they're getting too close to me. And I'm normally just enjoying the serenity of the quietness of the neighborhood, and it's not that at all right now. But
I bet all your neighbors are home.
They're everywhere, and it's like they're stray cats.
Like me. I have neighbors I've never seen.
Yeah, and that's why it's like, okay, we're going to move to the country. We're good. So yeah, it's interesting. I have an interesting office horror story because my office is my home. Recently we had a backsplash installed in our kitchen. We were doing an update with it, and I gotta say, holy shit, punctuality is one of my things, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But it was just like, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how much you express, something needs to get done in a certain time window. Nothing got through to this person, and just completely oblivious the whole time. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a little bit. That's from my office world. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, in the beginning, I was unaware that my boss was crazier than Karen next door with her 30 cats. In fact, I thought he was cool and casual. Found out my judgment was the farthest thing from the truth. I'll have many stories about this man, but for now, let's start with the one that still makes me angry. The entire week prior to the incident, I'd been grilled day after day about how bad of a worker I was, and he could find better workers at a yard sale. Well, looking back at the record, I was actually very good at my job, and he was just an asshole. I had my day off the day before and was asked to follow him into the conference room. He was calm until he wasn't. He got irate with me and yelled, "Why did you go behind my back and try and alter our equipment?" I simply stated I had no idea what he was talking about, and this infuriated him. "You altered the wheel on the polishing machine." It turns out that on the day I was off, the helper from other sites came to help us. At every other store, the polishing wheel is turned opposite of how my boss said it was correct. Not knowing that our boss put it this way, he flipped the wheel so the other side was being used. Well, I tried to tell him that I was off the day before, but he yells at me, "You're a bum and a liar. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't have a job." I started to get visibly upset because everyone loved me on this job. I wanted to leave this job for months, but I at home, life swayed in the balance. On one hand, I could stay and deal with this loony. On the other hand, if I left, I would face scrutiny at home, likely resulting in mental and physical abuse. So I stayed. I was trying my damnedest to please this jerk. I even tried to show him the schedule when the incident occurred, and he threw it at me saying, "You're a liar." A couple of months go by, I'm approached by him one day, and he says, "It's occurred to me that you indeed were off the day you said. With that, this is a learning lesson for you, and I hope I've taught you something." All I could do was ask to use a bathroom so I could keep my cool. I'll be giving you guys more and more stories. Thank you so much for the show. This channel, for me, is highly relatable and helps bring me some peace over these terrible years. And the story seems vaguely familiar. I'm not sure if they wrote in a little bit differently on a different episode, but it seems there was a lot of elements that were different to it or added. So I apologize if that was a repeat of some sort. But interesting nonetheless, where you have the boss that can't quite get it through their head that it's not this individual's fault, but they still want to turn it into a learning lesson of some sort. Learning what? That you're incompetent as shit? I mean, what exactly is that?
But here's what bugs me the most about that whole story is that she, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'm assuming it was a woman.
Yeah.
Said that if she couldn't quit the job because if she did, then she would suffer mental and physical abuse at home.
Yeah.
So this poor person is stuck in a job where she's being treated like that and in a home where she's being treated like that. Like, you deserve better. So if that person is listening right now, you deserve better.
Yeah.
Don't take it. And that sometimes, you know, it seems like a huge mountain to climb and there's no way you could do it. But, you know, once you get to that other side of it, it's like, how did I ever live like that?
Yeah.
And too, sometimes I think, especially if you're beat down at home, then you get to workplace and it feels natural that somebody's doing that because that's what you're used to.
Yeah, if you're so conditioned for it, and it's a sad state of affairs. But
just made me sad.
Yeah, it's not a good place to be in, but it's one of those where you got to get the help and you got to stand up and escape those situations.
Make a plan, put a plan together.
Yeah.
But you deserve better than that.
Yeah.
Even if there are children involved, they deserve better than that.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's for them. You got to stand up and get the hell out of there. And there's ways of doing it. And I know there's brick walls and it's scary and there's all sorts of ways where it could go wrong, but it will almost certainly go wrong if you stay in that situation. You know, it's like almost
and the boss was an asshole.
Exactly. Totally. You get the
total asshole.
Well, I hope you learn.
The fair thing would be someone like that. I mean, if you got to deal with that at home, which you don't, you can get out of that and you have to. But it's like at least work might be where you get the break. But you don't have any break.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes bosses prey on that, where they, even if they don't know, you know, per se, that here's what's going on at home. It doesn't take a lot sometimes to sense that sometimes from individuals, just depending on what's going on. Or again, if you meet the significant other of someone, you're like, oh, holy shit. You know, I can only imagine what life is like at that person's house and you feel horrible.
Exactly. Because that guy is probably treating his wife like that at home.
Yeah. And I think people like that prey on that. They take advantage if they know that person will put up with that because they're already putting up with this much at home. Well, fuck, you know, at work, then you know, you can be treated like shit and it's going to look like daisies and roses and unicorns compared to the shit that they're going through at home. And it's horrible to look at things that way. But I think people do. Some people just take advantage of being an asshole and people who are.
I think they get like this weird satisfaction from it.
Yeah.
Which is so strange to me. It's like, how could you ever feel satisfied with treating someone horribly? I don't get that. Like, especially if you're married to someone.
Sure.
How could you treat that person horribly? If you do, then you know what? Say, hey, it's time to go our separate ways.
Yeah. Well, it's a cycle. You know, you look at it and you go, well, what was this person brought up with? And I'm sure it's like mirroring what they're doing. And how far back does it go? And it probably goes way the fuck back. And it takes someone with enough insight to say, I'm not going to do this shit again. I'm not going to treat my family the way that I saw people being treated. And that's how it's broken. But unfortunately, that's not, you know, that's not the common thing that happens. A lot of times it's just what you saw and what you think is the norm is what people end up doing. And that's the sad reality of it. But people do break.
Maybe that person has actually gotten away from the bad situation and will write back in or call back in and say, hey, that was me. And I'm doing great now. Because I would love to hear that.
I would too.
That would be awesome.
I would love to hear that. And it sounds like you got more stories. So please do share more with us. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story with us. Our next letter, it says, I just started this job, no longer there, so trying to find my feet and get to know personalities. I'm not exactly the quiet type myself, and I like to laugh, have a joke, and keep my own with male colleagues. In saying that, at this workplace, there were three males that got their realities of who they are so wrong. Person one was the control room guy. Picture a bald man who was short and wide as he was tall, had a beard to hide a triple chin. All he did was talk himself up. It started with a slow touch here and there, asking about how many men I slept with on the weekends, what my favorite positions are, and whether I'm a screamer, etc. I started to get uncomfortable and said so. Big mistake. He stepped it up and would try to dry hump me, bend me over the desk by sneaking up on me, hand down his pants when talking to me, panting like a dog when I would go past. It was vomit inducing, but he would not listen. The crux was when he surprised me with a sex doll and wanted me to interact with it. Like, what the fuck? While this was going on, another POS was an absolute leech. Any excuse to get in your personal space, at least this one, did not stop at just me. It was directed at every female staff member. He would try to touch you inappropriately, sniff you, and pull your bra straps. Like, seriously, how old are you? It felt like they were competing to see who the biggest dick was. So the last straw was when we were filling up the vehicle and he grabbed my breast and pulled my bra again. I lost my shit and punched him in the face. But the nerve of him, he could not understand why when I talked to him. I regret not breaking his jaw. I wish they would just masturbate and get it over and done with. The place was so bad I couldn't get away from it quick enough, and the management was no help, but they were in the stupid boys club and were always on their side, even when dick number two threw a female officer on the bed and frisked her, trying to take her clothes off. Oh, he never got spoken to or sacked. And that's the end of that one. Holy shit, it sounds like this is in a police department, is what that sounds like. So I was curious
that
as to what...
That shit pisses me off.
Yeah.
That's the shit that pisses me off. It's like, you don't get to do that.
No.
And when I was younger, this would happen. And I don't think I had the voice to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know how, and that person had all the authority, and you didn't, and you didn't know how to do it, because if I yell too loudly, I'll get fired, and you can't get fired. But when she said she punched him, I was, yes!
Yeah. Should have kicked him in the balls.
Because if nobody else is going to listen, that is so wrong. And, you know, and I'm sure there's women who sexually harass people.
Sure.
I'm not saying that it's just a man thing, but I am kind of saying it's pretty much just a dude thing, because it happens. And like, for it's happened for so long that so many men think it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay. You don't get to touch a person. You don't get to say stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wrong. And these guys, and it, I see it all the time, and they say stuff and they don't even get it.
Sure.
I mean, the president of the United States, I'm not going to get political here, but you know, he said some shit that in any work environment would have been reported to HR, and that would have been dealt with.
Yeah. No, I know.
But it's just a weird time. And so I like to think we're getting past that. And then I hear stories and I'm like, we're not getting anywhere.
You know, I don't, it's interesting. I wonder if as a whole, if things are getting better, especially in more larger corporate environments where there is more of an HR accountability in place, and there has to be, because there's such a liability for a major company to have shit like this going on and thriving. But when you get down to some of the smaller companies and such, where, and not even necessarily companies, but sometimes like this, where it's a municipality, it's a government entity, and it's all controlled, you know, basically the heads of, you know, some of these people are voted in or voted out. And things like that, when they're appointed, they don't necessarily leave unless there's a giant scandal that is exposed, where things like this are able to thrive. And in no way am I saying that this is happening at every police department by any means. But but when there's, I believe in various places, and in whether it be, again, like municipalities, whether it be small businesses, things like that, where the person who is the safeguard to it is part of the fucking problem.
That's the problem.
That's how it thrives.
And it's still happening. Yeah. And we could do an entire episode just on this.
Yeah.
Because there's some shit that's happened recently to people I know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so unacceptable.
Yeah.
But the only two people were that guy and her. And if she says anything, he's got all the power in the situation.
Yeah.
So who's, are you going to believe him? You going to believe her?
Sure.
You know, and it's just wrong. Like, a woman should be able to do her job and not be threatened sexually.
No, it just shouldn't be
not
part of
be
the equation.
Not be talked to like she's a piece of meat, not be objectified. She should be able to go to, God, I'm on a damn soapbox today. But she should be able to go to work and do her job and be treated with respect. And so often that's not the case.
No, it's not. And I wonder if that's improving or not. I really don't know the answer to that. I would think.
I don't think so.
No?
I like to. And I'll tell you off the air some stuff. That
okay. Yeah.
We're off of the program.
Yeah.
I guess we're not on the air.
Yeah.
But it just, it makes me mad, because I thought we had moved way past some things.
Sure.
And then we really haven't.
Yeah.
And guys, I really think, not all guys, don't mean it like that, but there's a lot of men, when given the opportunity to be a total asshole and treat a woman like that, they will do that. Yeah. If they don't think they're going to get caught.
And that's the thing. That's where you have the environment. If the environment allows it, it will happen at some point. Yep. And if it keeps happening, it will thrive. And then it's like, how do you break it up? Another thing I wonder about when it comes to things like this, whether it be something that's going on in a municipality, an official government type entity like a police department, or even a business of some sort, the way that so many small towns and not even just small towns, but medium towns, large towns, we have such a small local press anymore that does any sort of investigative work. This just doesn't exist anymore.
Because they don't have any money.
There's no money, and there's fear of being sued, because chances are some of the businesses where this may be going on, or if it's like a police department or something and this shit's going on, you also don't want to be on the wrong side of either of them. Because they can make your life hell if you are the media entity, if you're the newspaper, if you're the radio station, if you're the TV station. So what we end up having is all these reports about how the MyPillow is the most comfortable pillow in the world and better than the $5 one from Target, rather than the local whatever it is and the sexual harassment allegations that are going on there. Things like that just get brushed over, covered up, and people never know about them. Because we have no local press anymore to cover these things. And that used to be, for the longest time, kind of the safeguard. You didn't want to end up getting the attention of that. But when there's no one to get the attention of, that goes away. And I think people never really thought that through. As much as people get anti-media and anti-press and shit, it's a good thing. There's a reason for it. And I wonder if at some point we're going to see the pendulum swing back the other way and people realize, hey, maybe it's important that we do have people investigating some of the bullshit that goes on around here.
And I just think that a lot of workplaces, even though there's an HR department, a lot of places don't have an HR department.
Yeah.
But it's not provable.
Sure.
And you don't have any evidence. And there are women who have reported things that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just say she said so, therefore it's true.
Yeah.
So, but then, you know, you put these two people together now, then it's really bad because she reported him and he knows.
Yeah.
She's the woman who would have reported him.
All I can say is
That's a tough situation.
One of the best things that's happened in our world for catching this shit is every single individual, for the most part, has a recording device for audio and video in their pocket.
And use it.
Yeah. And I don't give a fuck where it's like, well, the law says it has to be a two-person. Fuck that. If it's a...
Some states aren't like that. Some states... Yeah.
Some aren't. Look at your state's laws and decide what you want to do. But it's one of those things where if you're...
Or punch him. Hit him in the... Like, I love that part.
But I say, punch, you know, him. Roll some fucking tape. And if that's what you have to do to get somebody exposed for the bullshit that they're doing, do it. I did it prior to, you know, smartphones and everything. This is kind of a funny story. Back in sixth grade, I had a teacher that was really, I was in a brand new school. I was happy. I had come from a school where I was really unhappy. I was being bullied and just isn't working out well. Really liked my new class, like my classmates, getting along with everybody. And I was hanging out with some kind of loner type kids, but they weren't getting into any sort of trouble. They were just the kids that didn't enjoy playing kickball religiously at recess. They like to go off to the side and just talk and hang out. And I'm like that too. I'm a quiet person. I was kind of that sort of a kid. I wasn't the let's play kickball 500 times. And so I went and hung out with them. And this teacher came and she was pressuring me to not be friends with these kids. I really think you could do better than those kids. I really think you should. And it was just ridiculous. And like, I'm doing good in school. I'm not getting into any sort of trouble. I never do get in trouble. These are nice kids. They, you know, they like computers. They're not troublemakers. And she would constantly, every recess, pull me aside and tell me, and to the point of like, you know, I may start giving you a detention or something if you don't go and play the kickball, if you're just going to go and play with it. And it was like insane. And it was such a stupid thing, but I felt really offended. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So me being the investigative reporter at the sixth grade level, I had borrowed a tape recorder, the little mini cassette recorder from a friend of mine. And I rolled tape on one of these conversations. And then I arranged for a meeting with the principal of the school because I wanted to expose this bitch for what she was saying. It's just, you know, like, what is this? Why are we doing this? And then the school threatened to sue me as a sixth grader, saying, we know you have a recording device. And in the state of Wisconsin, it is illegal to record people without their consent. And I suggest you think long and hard about destroying that cassette tape because what you did was illegal. And I'm like, what about the shit that she's saying to me? And I didn't say shit. I was really polite. And they're like, well, that's not the issue here. What you did broke the law. So it's
of
like
all the stories I know about you, I think this is my favorite one of all time.
Of all the stupid shit that, you know, it's like, so you had these 40 some year old, you know, bitchy teachers that really shouldn't have been in the positions that they were in, all concerned that they were caught in just a stupid thing. But all my only point was I wasn't trying to like get her fired or anything. I was just like, hey, look, I'm sick of this every damn day. I'm being harassed. This is not appropriate. I'm not doing anything wrong. Please, let's fix this. But no, I was in the wrong for that. But yeah, there you go.
And look at you. You grew up to be a successful podcaster.
Yeah, it's
what?
Yeah, and I still
have. That was like in your DNA from a very young age.
Well, I would go home at night and play radio station as well. So I was doing the all request dinner hour into a karaoke machine for my cat, where I would be playing cassette tapes of John Cicada and Fleetwood Mac. And then every once in a while, we'd throw in like the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack. But that was, you know,
and
cassette
then a
to
quick
cassette.
Weather report.
Oh, yeah. You got to do weather. Weather's in there, too. And it was great. But I've been playing radio stations since I was three. So this is nothing. I think two,
but
actually,
I love
technically.
That story about you going undercover. I know. Recording.
Like, fuck this. We're going to dateline this shit.
Oh, I love sixth grade Tony so much.
Thing is, I haven't changed that much. It's still same me. 833.
You would still do that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Second.
Totally. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror stories with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, so today I had to call the cops. I just recently became a manager, maybe like 3 weeks ago. Today was my first day as a solo shift lead, and it was a slow night. Still is. Here is a bit of background. We have two doors. We lock the door closest to the street since no one is allowed in our lobby. My pizza place has a dine-in area, which is also closed now. When a customer comes, they must stand behind a desk by the door and wait for us to take their payment and give them their food, only one person at a time. All of this is due to the pandemic. A man came in today, but he tried to come in through the locked door. He didn't knock. He was banging and trying to jiggle the handle. I told him to go around, and so did a driver. He just kept banging on the door, and I shouted, go around. He finally went to the other door. When he comes in, he releases all his aggression on me. He'll be D for douchebag in the following exchange. D, you know it's fucking raining outside. Sir, we must keep that door locked now because of the protocol. No customers are allowed in the lobby. You guys are taking this shit too seriously. What was the name on your order? He shows me his order. Okay, I'll be right back. As I walked back to get his stuff, I saw that he was behind the desk where he wasn't supposed to be. Me, sir, I need you to stay behind the desk or I can't give you your order. I need to pay. I must use the machine. I know you still need to pay, but I need you to stand behind the desk. It's not my rules, but I must enforce them. The douchebag refuses to stand behind the desk. Another driver proceeds to direct him behind the desk too. Pizza driver then says, sir, you got to stand behind the desk or we can't help you. He ignores the pizza driver. Sir, for your health and ours, we need you to stand back behind the desk. You guys are overdramatic. Just give me my stuff. You need to listen or I'll call the authorities on you. He mimics me with his hand like a small child. So I ended up calling the cops because he said this. This is fucking stupid. when he was mimicking me. I called the cops and told him what's going on. I told them he isn't following health protocols, putting people at risk and causing a public disturbance. I told all my staff to stay away from him and to keep on their masks until he leaves. 10 minutes go by when another customer comes to pick up her order. I walk past the driver or the douchebag to help her. She asked if I was going to help him, and I said, no, he's not listening to our health protocols, and I'm not going to help until he listens. When I walk past him again after giving the other customer her stuff, he looks at me, and I told him once he started to cooperate with us, we'll give him his food. Another 3 minutes go by. The driver saw the guy is finally behind the desk. Driver takes his card and brings him his food. That's when the cops come. Well, the douchebag flips the fuck out. I hope you didn't call the cops on me because that would have been stupid. All you people are overreacting with your mask. Note, the cop was also wearing an N95 mask. Cop says they did call the police on you. The douchebag flips the desk, throwing his food onto the ground. Cops quickly pinned him to the ground and cuffed him before anything else could happen. They dragged the douche and put him in the back of the squad car. Cops came and got statements from us, and I have I gave the cop a soda and some wings for helping out. I made sure the driver was all right, and we swept, mopped, and sanitized anything douche touched. I texted my manager and supervisor and told them both what happened. I let them know everyone was safe, no one was hurt, nor did anyone get coughed on. So there you go. An asshole that just can't follow the rules has to go and stand out and make a point at the pizza pickup place.
And, okay, here's the thing. This is a tough time, and these restaurants are doing what they have to do, and it's not the way they normally do business, but they're trying to stay afloat.
Yeah.
And so they're having to change all their procedures, and everything's different. I went and got a pickup order the other day, and it was really weird to walk in to a restaurant on a Friday night that would have normally been packed, and there's nobody in it. So they're doing what they have to do. And then you got this guy who was probably drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been what the D stood for, drunk douchebag.
Yeah.
But like, they're just doing what they have to do to stay safe. Like, that just pisses me off.
Yeah, but they're out there. And I think we're going to see a lot more stories like this where people just, they want to argue. I mean, everybody, you know, emotions run high. But when you start doing the, you know, douchery of I'm not going to follow anything and I'm not going to respect that, you want to stay safe.
None of us like it.
No.
There's nobody who's like going,
this is great.
I'd much rather walk in and get my order to go or have it delivered. I don't want to go out and eat ever again. Yeah. I mean, we're all making these exceptions to what we'd like to be doing.
Yeah.
He's not special.
Yeah.
It's just, do what we're asking you to do. Get your damn food. Pay for it the way we're asking you to pay for it and go home.
Do you think?
It's that simple.
Here's the thing.
With
people like that, even though he made a fool of himself and he got arrested and it did not work out well for him at all, do you think he ever went home and said, I think I learned my lesson. I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, no.
No.
He's still bitching about it.
I'm sure he's
like, probably has driven by that place. Like, I'd be kind of afraid he'd come back.
Yeah, I would too. And that's the thing with people like that. No matter what sort of insane altercation they end up going into, no matter how negatively it impacts them or those around them, you can't fix stupid. And
he's like those people that I see on Facebook. Like, I saw one of them today. They're really into this heavy conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Like, somehow this whole thing was... I don't even get it.
I don't know.
Why would anybody do this on purpose?
Yeah.
But I unfriended someone just today because he was saying stupid shit like that.
Yeah. I just have no room for it in my life. It's insanity. Just utter insanity. It's like, it's tough. It sucks. Yes. But
Does in these restaurants. Like, they're not making the money they used to make.
No.
You know, they've had to lay off people. They're just trying to pay the bills so when this is all over, they can open back up like normal.
I know. You guys are being douches. I need my pizza now. Like, okay, get the fuck out. But what do you do? I feel bad. I feel bad for him. Thank you for sharing that that story with us. We do greatly.
I hope your restaurant stays afloat. Yes. Keep working hard.
Exactly. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. If you have one you want to share with us, please do so. Write it in at officehorrorstories.com or call 833-8-JOB. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.